And would you please join me in prayer? O Lord, prepare our hearts and our minds to hear your word and to obey your will. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. And this evening, the word of the Lord comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All of these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. And this is the word of the Lord. Would you please join me in a centering prayer? God, our God, we cry out, your beloved needs you now. Draw us near, calm our fears, capture our minds and our heart, and speak your word that we may hear. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. As a student, I did not like tests. I flat out did not like tests. Preparations for the test were okay. I didn't mind reading all the chapters or doing all of the homework. I would fill out the study guides and I would go to the review sessions, but I did not like the tests. I did not like them because if I misread the question, I would get the answer wrong, or if the test was a multiple answer test, I had a really hard time deciding between the best answers. And if I got enough of those questions wrong, I would fail the test. And I have a really difficult time with failure, so I did not like tests. And to make matters worse, all of my friends were very competitive. And so they wanted to know which one of us got the highest grade, so we would exchange papers to see who did the best. So tests were not my thing. I don't like them. But there is inside of me a joy that I receive when I have a physical test. I really appreciate endurance activities. And in the wilds of Grand Teton National Park in Jackson, Wyoming, I was able to test my athletic prowess on a weekly basis. And my discipline was mountain climbing. And there, too, I like all of that preparation. I love the fact that I would spend hours a day running, or that for days on end, I would be at the climbing gym rehearsing one single rock climbing move, the hardest move on that entire mountain, just to make sure that I could get to the top. I also liked learning new rope management skills, like how to escape the belay if my climbing partner was hit by a stone and knocked unconscious, or if he got stung by a bee and got tangled up in the rope. I could untie myself from the rope and get down to him without either of us plunging all the way to the valley floor. But I also liked mountain climbing because it's like a true or false test. Either true, you get to the summit, or false, you don't actually make it all the way to the top. So I enjoyed that athletic performance. And maybe you're thinking, oh, that's crazy. Why would you want to put yourself through all that physical labor? I would never want to be tested in that way. Or maybe you think, yeah, I'm not into academic testing either. But tests are a reality of our lives. And we have tests throughout the duration of our life. When we're 16 or older, we take a driver's test. And for the rest of our lives, we have eye examinations. Eye examinations. Tests are something that are always present in our lives. And as we've heard this evening in our gospel lesson, there is a test that takes place. In Matthew 4, Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness where he is tempted. Now that word translated, Greek word translated into English in the Bible is tempted, and that is an accurate translation. But that's only half of the definition. The other half of the definition of that word is tested. So we can read the Bible as Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tested. Now I imagine that Jesus' conversation with the devil went something like this. Jesus had been in the desert for 40 days, and this was an inhospitable place. This was broken shale and spindly rock spine that stretched as far as your eye could see. This would not make it on the Travel Channel's top 10 vacation destinations. If you had a picture of Hawaii and the wilderness that Jesus was in, you would put Hawaii on your fridge and say, that's where I want to go one day, and you would take the wilderness picture and you would put it face down in the recycling bin. The wilderness is not somewhere where you would want to be. Resources are not available to you in the wilderness. It is a dry place. People don't go out into the wilderness because it's a hard place to survive in. So Jesus is in the midst of this wilderness in 40 days without any food. And the devil shows up. The devil, also known in this text, is the tempter. And the tempter, in my translation, said to Jesus, "Do you see all those rocks around you? Don't they look like the perfect loaf of bread? They're the right size. They're the right weight. And you've been hungry for 40 days. Why don't you just turn those rocks into bread and you can have a warm, nice slice and you won't be hungry anymore?" Jesus responded to this first test by saying, "People don't live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God." So then the tempter took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple, to the very top point of the temple, and he led Jesus to the edge and said to Jesus, "There's about 120 feet from where you're standing to the ground below. And if you step off of the edge, the angels that God has promised to protect you will come and rescue you. Your feet won't even hit the ground before the angels are there to save you." And Jesus replied to that test by saying, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." So then the tempter took Jesus to the top of a high mountain. I know, slightly ironic, but back to the top of a high mountain. And there he said to Jesus, "Look at this creation. Look at these mountains. Look at the glaciers. Look at the land, the farm, and the field. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the eagles. Look at the mountain goats. Look at those brook trout in the streams. And look at the people. Look at all the inhabitants of the earth. If you but fall down to me, Jesus, you can have dominion over all of these things." And Jesus replied to that test by saying, "You shall only serve the Lord your God and worship him alone." Tests are a reality of our lives. They were a reality in Jesus' life. Jesus passed all of the tests that he was put through. But you and I aren't Jesus. Praise be to God for that. We are people. And we are a broken people, and our inclination is to sin, which means that life will present tests to us, and we won't always pass those tests. But we are marked with a failing grade. The good news of the gospel is that in Jesus Christ, we have been stamped with a passing grade, and nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. That is the good news of the gospel that we have this evening. That doesn't mean that the tests we face won't be difficult, that we won't find ourselves in wilderness, in time and space where a family seems at arm's length and our bank account is dry. God will give to us those answers, but it doesn't mean that our bank account will be filled or that friends will surround us. Life will be difficult and there will be tests that we have to take. But the good news of the gospel is we don't take those tests alone. There is a better hand writing our answers for us. So in this text, we get a model of how we respond to the tests that are given to us. We turn to the Word of God to seek the answers to those questions. It's not always easy, and it doesn't always seem like God's Word provides the answers that we are looking for. But in God's Word, there is a hope that surpasses all things. There is a mercy that is given so freely and abundantly. It is for all of us. So in the midst of our tests, as we turn to the Word of God, we do so in the confidence that no matter what has happened in our lives, the things we have done or have not done, we have not failed in this life because we are marked with Christ. We are marked in the waters of baptism by our Lord and Savior. And we are fed and sustained at the Lord's table. It's a magnificent gift that tests do apply to us, but we don't have to worry about passing them. Christ has passed the test for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to pray with me as we lift before God our church, our community, and all of creation. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, we give you praise this day for your Son, Jesus Christ, who we remember during these 40 days that what he has accomplished for us marks us and redeems us, places us as your own. Lord, in that knowledge, may we be ever mindful of the people here in our church, that we would share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. Lord, embolden us to go into our communities as faithful servants, proclaiming the good news of the gospel to everyone. Lord, as well, we pray for all of creation, that the things we do with the resources we have would not negatively impact your creation, but we would help all things flourish and become to live as you have intended them to live. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name.